Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your host tonight on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you have been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you've all been cleared to know the truth. And if you wouldn't mind stepping this way, we'll make sure you get repaired this week. That's the, I think that's the theme that we're going for.
Repairing.
Yeah. I kept waiting to see
I'm hoping to get a little bit of repair. My particles have been feeling a little bit slow lately.
Ah.
And I'm wondering if you've heard of anybody that could maybe make them go a little faster, you know, kind of accelerate them.
I was going to say particle acceleration is a big deal. It seems like, this season on superhero television shows. And
maybe they're sponsored by Red Bull this season or something.
I was going to say, I get a big bang out of them. So, but yeah, this week we're looking at the newest episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which happened to be called Repairs. And it was good. I'm glad it was not called The Repairs, because we seem to have gotten, I don't know if you've noticed, a lot of the titles are The something. You know, there was The Hub, The Well. I think next week is The Bridge. So I'm just pretty soon by the end of the season, I think we're going to have, you know, put all the pieces together. We're going to be able to build something with it, like Tinker Toys.
It does kind of sound like that, doesn't it? Well, Christmas is coming. You know, we've got a big pile of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. toys.
Yeah.
So but it sounds like, you know, how all the Friends episodes, they used to be called, you know, the one with the, or, you know, and it would describe the episode. So,
oh yeah,
this was the one with the backstory of
Agent May.
Agent May, yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Let me kind of run this down for you. Repairs was episode 9 of season 1. It was first on November 26, 2013, was when it was first aired. It was written by Marissa Tancharoen and Jed Whedon. Familiar names writing episodes this season, directed by Billy Gearhart. And basically what happened was while they were transporting a suspected telekinetic woman on the bus, the S.H.I.E.L.D. team has to deal with the mystery behind why she seems to have developed these powers. But when they find out it's not really her at all, the real danger threatens to crash the plane and then eventually destroy them all. So, you know, Agent May be the only hope they have by dealing a little bit with some of the things that have happened in her past, while the rest of the crew just tries to survive the whole thing. So, now, kind of an exciting episode. Lots of action in this one.
Yeah. This episode aired Thanksgiving week. Did not really feel like a Thanksgiving episode.
No, it didn't. Didn't the thankfulness, the thank yous. No, it wasn't. Maybe that's coming down later.
Yeah, I was thinking that this was, you know, this probably would have been the Halloween episode. Other than the fact that, you know, it was kind of continuing on with some storylines that had been, you know, worked on previously. So it's not, I don't think they really could have put it as the Halloween episode, you know, kind of fits here with some of the things that they're talking about in the episode. But I will admit,
it did have that Halloween feel to it a little bit more though, huh?
Yeah. I will admit, like, you know, I watch these the night that they're on, but not necessarily at 8 o'clock when they're airing here. And so it was, you know, it was later, it was dark, but this episode like freaked me out. Seriously. I got some heebies and some jeebies from this one. with the way Tobias kept appearing and disappearing and stuff.
Yeah, the first one, I think it was the first one, was the best one. That was where somebody just kind of moved off screen, and he was just kind of in the shadows, just right in the back.
Right, and you just see this blurry, out of shadow, you know, out of focus shadow kind of thing. Right?
And I had to kind of rewind, and I'm like, wait a minute, who's that? So that was good. Yeah.
The one that really sends the chills up my spine was when Fitz goes back to the closet to get whatever he needed, and he's got the gas mask, he finds the mop, and you know, he bends down, and or you know, you see behind him there's no one there, and he moves, and then all of a sudden there's a guy there, and then it cuts, and the music rises up, and then it cuts back to the same angle, and nobody's there, and the music just kind of tapers off a little bit, but it was like, whoa, that's just freaky.
Yeah, and it worked really well with the close quarters of the plane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the closet and in the corridors and stuff like that, that worked really well.
What did you feel about the way that they kind of set this up? So we've heard from previous episodes about no, there's no such thing as ESP. This goes back again to the I Spy episode, which I think was episode 3 or 4. And you know, then we had talked a little bit about there was the PsyOps division that they talked about, where I had thought that it was, they're talking about the, you know, PSY ops, like psychic, but it was more like psychological ops. You know, because there's ESP in the comics and stuff like that. And then in this one, I mean, it appears that there's this telekinetic person. You know, Simmons is not really quick to believe it. She's like, well, there's got to be some other explanation. You know, she's always looking for, well, and I think Fitz to a degree as well, are looking for real world explanations, which is kind of cool, you know, to think, okay, well, even though it's this crazy explanation that, you know, there are no ghosts, but it could be this person caught between, you know, planes of reality or something.
Yeah.
Different worlds.
Well, and I thought, you know, I think it was last week, in the Thor crossover, when they were mentioning how, you know, it was like magic, but then they found the scientific explanation for the berserker staff or whatever it was they were explaining there, and so I thought that was interesting because, I mean, at the beginning they were all pretty convinced that this was some sort of telekinetic power, and even Simmons, you know, I mean, she thought that might be what it was, but it, in a scientific way, you know, she was able to do this, but
right.
I kind of liked that. I really liked the introduction of the episode, you know, with Miss Hutchins there in the little convenience store. I thought that was a really neat way to kind of set it up. You know, it made it another episodic show, you know, where, episodic, you know, episode,
right.
Just because it was, you know, characters we didn't know, and you can say, okay, well, this is who it's going to be about this time. So I'm still kind of hoping that they kind of start pushing away from that. But it was a really great scene that really set up her character and just the how she was freaking out about the whole thing. And it made you feel like she was doing it too. So,
right.
I like how they set it up.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's seen, you know, Carrie or seen commercials for Carrie, and, you know, it's like, oh, when people get upset and if they've got psychic powers, you know, weird things happen around them and things like that. So that's a popular kind of sci-fi/horror trope, I guess, that gets used. Specifically,
well, must be something in the Marvel world too, because that's what they all kind of assumed. Even Coulson was assuming that, you know, if she got upset, it could get nasty.
Right.
So they were watching for that.
Right. I mean, I'm trying to think, I'm trying to remember if there was a similar scene in like the X-Men or something like that, you know, with, Phoenix. But not that's jumping out of my head at the moment, but what I was going to ask was, what are your feelings about the way that they went with this? Because I was all excited. I'm like, yes, all right, cool. You know, telekinetics, and you got this woman here, and, you know, she doesn't believe that this is happening to her. She says it's demons, right? Because she's trying to reconcile the powers that we think she has with her faith, which I thought was a really interesting subject to go on. But then, you know, they tell us, oh, wait a second. No, she doesn't actually have telekinetic powers. There's a... you know, there's this dude that's, you know, caught between worlds here, this kind of ghost guy that is following her around and doing things. You know, basically what she said, she was saying she has this demon following her, and that's what, you know, it basically turns out to be. And then we even find out, no, it's not quite that. It's, you know, we find that there are, we think we know what the story is. Then they switch what the story is. And we're like, oh, okay, all right, this is it. And then even beyond that, they switch what the story is a third time. And you're like, oh, no, wait, this is what it is. Oh, that's, you know, it's completely different than what we originally thought it was. And it's, you know, like almost 180 degrees different. And why is the guy doing it? Well, he's trying to kill her. No, he's not even really trying to kill her. I mean, he's in love with her. What are your thoughts about the way they kept kind of pulling the wool out from under you on and that?
I liked that. I mean, it was more like, you know, different twists that you weren't expecting, which I think makes any dramatic series more interesting. It keeps it less predictable. And, you know, when things become predictable and, you know, they call them cookie cutter, which mm-hmm. this could probably fall into that category at some points this season. But, you know, it just makes it more interesting because you don't know what's going to happen. And so you watch a little bit more intently and you're like, oh, no way. Oh, I wouldn't have even guessed that. So,
right.
And like I said, that first scene especially really set it up. So it kind of put this image in your head of what you really did think it was going to be. And then, like you said, you know, they pull the wool out and it's something completely different. So I really, really like that. I think you know, some of the good dramatic. I don't know what you would call the genre. What do you call the genre of Lost and X-Files? I mean, what do you call that kind of show? It's not always sci-fi. It's not always.
Yeah, I mean it's a cross genre, but I mean I think it's you know, science fiction, fantasy. I mean, I guess Lost was definitely fantasy. I think X-Files probably more sci-fi horror.
Yeah, I guess just that idea of. Like you're the detective along with the characters and you're sort of figuring it out as you go too. And sometimes things that happen that you don't expect and you have to place that next puzzle piece in to see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what this was pretty successfully doing. I think, I mean, I thought it was a good way to tell the story that they had. So,
okay. Now think about this. We get a story from Fitz and Simmons about May's background, her backstory. And I think we realize that they're kind of embellishing and putting Sky on because they're trying to pull a prank on her. But, you know, I think there's enough truth to that story that we can kind of, you know, we start to go, oh, okay. So maybe, you know, they're embellishing a little bit, but, you know, this is what happened to May. Then Sky's talking to Ward later, and, you know, she says what she thinks the story is, and Ward's like, no, it's not that at all. It's this. And you're like, oh, my gosh, that's pretty bad. And then Sky's talking to Coulson later, and Coulson says, no, I don't know what everyone's talking about. It keeps getting embellished. No, here's really what happened, because I was there. And you're like, oh, my gosh, that was horrible. And then even still at the end, they throw in another little nugget about May's backstory, and I noticed the parallels between kind of these two elements, and I thought, like you said, that makes for a really dramatic show. I thought it was an interesting way for them to reveal May's backstory because we're still not 100% sure of what's going on, but I think we are, you know, like 90% closer to understanding where she's coming from. And obviously this was a healing process for her as well. The repairs from the title of the episode is, you know, very much about her repairing herself, I guess, you know, like, you know, putting herself back together from this incident in Bahrain.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that probably was the main repair was her, like you said. But and you know, I agree with you. I thought that was an interesting way to reveal some of her backstory. I just wish they would reveal a little bit more. I don't even need the details. I like that everybody kind of told a different story, which made her that much more mysterious, and it kind of built the legend of who she is, you know, and and how good she is. But which I do like that. I just, you know, again, I just, they're falling into that that trap of just dragging this on and on. And I think they could clear up some of the main backstories of these characters, and then sprinkle other little stuff then that would be mysterious.
Well, see, I mean, I agree with that. I think that there's, you know, there's always room for that. And, you know, now we've gotten our team backstories, right? We've gotten everybody except for what's going on with Coulson. And they really didn't touch on anything about him, which I think is good, because it's like, let's not confuse the issue here. We're focusing on Agent May and, you know, what she's going through, and let's not bring in, you know, even bring in a little tease about Coulson. So I thought that was really well done. I really liked the fact that, you know, we don't know what's going on with May in this building. Like, she went in, there were some agents there, but there was also a civilian girl we hear about. And then at the end, she tells Tobias to, you know, let the girl go. And when Coulson asks her, you know, what did you tell him, you know, to make him disappear? And she's like, same thing you told me. And it's like, okay, yeah, like, what now, again, we have to ask, like, really, what happened to her? Like, what kind of situation was she in that she had to, that Coulson would come in and tell her to let the girl go? Is it like, did she get caught in crossfire? You know, was it a girl she knew or something? You know, I mean, there's all sorts of great questions that come from there. But I'm, you know, I'm glad we got the, I would have liked to have maybe known about this a little bit earlier, but I think it's been a nice reveal. What we're, 9 episodes in here, and have, you know, gotten a good amount of backstory on all the team. And we can actually see that the healing process has started for May. She, we know that she liked to do pranks a lot previously, and we start to see that at the very end in the teaser of this episode, which is nice. So hopefully, I don't really want her to soften up too much, but maybe lighten up, because she's, you know, she's very authoritarian and very, I don't want to say necessarily stern, but just, you know, not joking
around. I'd say enough. Stern. Is it? I'd say she's pretty stern. I mean,
That's true. I mean, yeah, she kind of gave Ward the, you know, hey, you're late. He's like, I was early earlier, and now I'm late. You know? So,
you don't think that was just their little cover story?
Well, I think it was, but it seemed like he wasn't expecting her to be so harsh at that point. You know, I mean, it was like, wow, that's like the you know, the dialogue I heard from the look that he gave her was kind of like, wow, you know, like, chill. You know, it's like they just slept together, basically. And she's, you know, yeah, she's, you know, she just leaves. Right. It's like, you know, she doesn't need to be around him. I mean, there's, you know, no kind of typical, you know, cuddling or anything involved. And
well, since we're speaking of the cuddling, so I have a question for you now. Did you get the impression that this was not the morning after the end of last week's episode?
I got the impression that it was the morning after last week's episode.
Did you? Because he said something like, I can't remember his exact words, but, you know, our story will be the same as it was.
We'll
stagger our thing. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's almost like they'd done this a few times and knew
right
how to handle it.
Right. Well, I agree with that. But, you know, they were in this kind of nice hotel, so I felt like it was the same, you know, hotel. Because Ward said, you know, hey, we don't get to Sky. I think last episode he was like, we don't get many, you know, stayovers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So that
so
was,
maybe this just wasn't the first time that
right, but this wasn't the first time. I mean, it seemed like, you know, Ward didn't even really question it. I mean, he in the previous episode when May returned to her room with the bottle of brandy or whatever it was she was drinking, and left the door open, you know, Ward was like, okay, he saw the door and he just went, you know, he like went in and went for it. It wasn't like, whole, oh, wow, I wonder, you know, what is, does she want me to come? You know, that kind of thing. It's just like he knew what that meant. Like, you know, and at that point, I don't know that I even thought that that might have been the first time. I don't think we discussed that last
time. To me, it was. I just figured Ward to be one of those people like, you know, he doesn't have to think twice. He's like, hey, she left the door open. I'm,
like James Bond. Right?
Yeah, like James Bond, exactly.
Right. I guess, I mean, I don't see him that suave. I mean, I feel like he's respectful enough that he wouldn't just, you know, think about, like, trying to take advantage of somebody, I guess. But
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know.
So, well, anyway, that struck me as odd. I had thought that it was just kind of a one-time thing, but either way, I guess it doesn't matter. They have history either way, especially now. So
right.
That might come back into play at some point.
And it's interesting. I mean, I'm not sure how old we're supposed to think the characters are in the show, right? There's Fitz and Simmons obviously are younger. Ward, to me, you know, seems to be in his 30s, I would guess. And then Coulson and May, to me, appear to be a little bit older than that. In real life, I know that Ming-Na Wen is, if she's not 50, she's almost 50, which just, again, continues to blow my mind when I see the, just how toned, she is in her fighting skills, and, you know, she just doesn't look that old. And then that kind of makes the whole, May Ward relationship, you know, like more intriguing as well, knowing it, you know, or thinking at least that, you know, wow, there's like a, it could be like a 20-year difference here or something like that.
Don't they call those May-December relationships?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit older. This may be more like a, you know, April-June relationship or something like that. I don't know.
Okay. Well, either way, there's a May involved, so it's fine.
Yeah. But it was. I thought it was interesting. I like the fact that Simmons was saying that, you know, May got her name of the being the cavalry because she rode in on a horse. And of course, then Fitz says, oh yeah, she had two guns in her hands as well. It's like, of course she had two guns in her hands. You could just picture her riding in on this horse, shooting all these people with two guns, you know, like very, you know, John Wayne, Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of, you know, look.
Yeah. Well, it sounded like a good story. It seemed like they were just embellishing what they'd already heard. And really, probably Coulson's the only one that knows exactly what happened. And he's respectful enough of her that he doesn't share it all.
Yeah.
You know, just to let Skye know that, hey, it was serious. That's pretty much all you need to know.
And it's good to know that, you know, she and Coulson are still able to communicate. The anger that Coulson had, I guess, a couple episodes ago in the hub has toned down a little bit with her for, well, actually it would have been the episode prior to that, I guess, when, you know, she kind of got put on restriction. So, you know, I'm glad they're getting along, and she's using the AC nickname for Coulson again, which is, I think it's just kind of cool because it's not even his initials. You know, it's his title and his last name, Agent Coulson. So she calls him AC. So that was pretty cool.
Well, PC wouldn't be, you know, that's not as cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it'd AC, if your nickname's AC, then you definitely are cool. You have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
cause you're AC, right?
Of course. Got it.
So, hey, well, mentioning those two, with Coulson and Agent May, and again, they didn't, you know, they didn't talk about Tahiti and all of Coulson stuff. And I'm glad, but I did think it was interesting that, Coulson knew whatever ends up happening with him and, you know, what we find out who he is or what he is or whatever. He did know about May's past and he remembered all of that. I just thought that was kind of,
true.
Worth keeping in the back of our head, you know, as we're thinking of seeing what eventually does happen to him. He remembered everything that happened. And I'm assuming that would have been all before he had supposedly died.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It sounds like that would all been pre New York, before the Battle of New York. That's true. That is a good point to know that, you know, if this is not the real Coulson, he's at least imbued with all the memories of Coulson. And if it is Coulson, you know, he can, and he died, you know, he still has the facilities to remember all this kind of stuff. That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Wow. So. Now I watch for those things with him to see if they're throwing any other little clues in there to find out. And I guess, you know what? I mean, I guess I don't mind that we don't know what happened to him yet. I continue to hope that if they are giving us clues, that they're different clues. And this one wasn't, you know, anything. So that was okay too. So, do you think that that's going to be, I think we talked about this either last week or the week before. So do you think that that's going to be the winter break cliffhanger, something about him, or do you think that they're just saving that up? Cause it doesn't feel like they're really getting any closer and we're just about to the winter break.
Right. I think the next episode is the winter break. I think they're only doing, we don't get one next week. We get one on the 10th, I believe, which is in 2 weeks. December 10th is in 2 weeks. And then they'll probably just stop there unless they might do one other. You know, it's a good question. I think that, it feels like it would be right for them to do it here at the midwinter break, or, you know, at the winter break to do the, you know, something with Coulson to tease it and give a little bit more about something in his backstory. Cause you know, like, I think the last thing we saw was him calling Shield HQ on his phone and trying to get the, you know, recovery report for himself, which they wouldn't give him. And he's like, well, I should be cleared for that. And you know, they say, well, you're not. So, you know, it seems like the next logical step would be, you know, some information falls into his lap in some way, whether Sky finds out something and gets it to him, or he's able to dig something up on his own, or another agent comes to, you know, provide him with some information.
I like the idea of maybe Sky getting him something. That's kind of an interesting idea.
It would be, it would be very much within her character to do so. She seems to be the one that in this episode, you know, he's talking about how she can read people and understand what's going on with them. We've got, you know, he talks about all the different, he kind of names off all the different characters as to what's going on. He, you know, that she wants to get into May's head. And she has no reason to know anything about Coulson yet, but I think she may understand that something's up. If there is some sort of, I mean, it's kind of a strange ability of hers, I guess. It's almost preternatural with the way that she does this.
Well, that seems to be her skill, right? Like each person on the team has a specific skill that helps out the entire group. And that seems to be what they're saying hers is. I mean, I would guess, I mean, that, you know, the other thing is like computer hacking and all that, but it doesn't seem like they have really any issue with that. It seems like they can do it on their own.
Right.
But
do you think it's more than just some sort of skill, or do you think it's like, I'm wondering now, you know, because we don't know her whole backstory, other than the fact that a SHIELD agent brought her to wherever it was she, you know, was adopted from there, that someone brought her in, and, you know, there's something mysterious. Coulson and May know a little bit more there, but they haven't really revealed. I'm wondering if she's got some kind of powers, you know, does she have like a, because in this episode, Coulson talks about her wanting to get to know, or having, he wants her to get to know the process of going out and vetting potential superpowered people, doing the indexing or whatever it was called, the something that was, you know, the really lame name that she said was super stupid, and she'd rather have it called the welcome wagon. Is she maybe someone that's been indexed in some fashion with some sort of ability, and that's her, you know, she has a power to, you know, it's like, because they also keep talking about, I'm just kind of spitballing here. They talk about telekinetics and stuff like this. Maybe she's got a little bit of ESP or something like that, that, you know, is latent, that she, you know, so she can read quote unquote people much easier than, you know, a normal person, you know, because I mean, I've seen some pretty amazing demonstrations of people, you know, that can look at you, ask you a couple questions, and then they, you know, can tell you a lot of things about yourself based on
Maybe she's just like Counselor Troi on Star Trek Next Generation, you know.
Well, kind of an empath.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like, right? Wasn't that her?
Or The Mentalist.
Or The Mentalist. Okay,
that's
so...
that's a different station, isn't it?
You know, yeah, those are TV shows, right? That we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Right? Well, that's right.
This is Agents
of Shield. Where I get most of my... Well, right. No, but I kind of like that idea that he's keeping her close for different reasons. I mean, maybe she is on some kind of a watch list, or maybe he just has his suspicions about that. That would fit with Coulson too. So,
right. He seems to take in, you know, broken people and try to fix them. I mean, his whole team has some sort of, you know,
they're all misfits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're like, kind of the Yukon Cornelius of of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wahoo! I kind of like that too. Wow, see, there's all kinds of good ways they could go. I like our ideas. So, speaking of Sky, what, you know, and you said she was they said even that she was she understood people. So why was she so critical of May going in with Miss Hutchins there in the first place? I mean,
why was she?
I mean, obviously, well, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I see what she's saying about her being, you know, stern and straight faced and all this, but I don't know that I've really seen that much of Agent May to show me that she would be.
I was going to say
she would make things worse.
Yeah, well, I think we see enough in this episode. You've got so. They go to this woman who is obviously distressed. You can see that when, you know, Sky is in the car watching this woman on her front porch. Which, by the way, that scene where they where the people are milling around, like just hanging out in front of the house, you know, shouting things at them, reminded me very much of the scene in X-Men 2. Where the cops were out in front of Iceman's house and they shot Wolverine and everything like that. And then, you know, the cops try to take him on and then Pyro goes kind of nuts and sends fireballs everywhere. I was like, oh my gosh, is that the same house? It's not the same house. I brought the scenes up side by side and it's...
Oh, you went and looked?
It's not, yeah, because I was like, I gotta see if that's what I was thinking of. But, you know, same kind of thing, right? The people get all upset and you think this, you know, then the woman gets all upset and then these weird things start to happen. So Skye's seeing that and she then sees May, you know, not even really, you know, trying to de-escalate this, just shoots her with the night-night gun. Again, making another appearance. I think it's made about 7 out of 9 appearances now or something like that.
Yeah, that's their main weapon. It's nice.
Yeah, I keep seeing it shown up in preview trailers for new episodes and stuff like that too.
Well, I can see that, but okay. So she said she knocked her out, right? But, and I have a question about that actually that I was going to ask you. Okay. So at this point in the show, we don't know what's causing all that.
Right. We think she's a dangerous person.
Right. We're under the impression that she's got some sort of telekinetic powers or whatever.
Right.
So in that scene, I can work this out for all the other scenes where it happened, where something was going on and moving around. Why did all of that stuff stop after they knocked Miss Hutchins out? Because, I mean, it wasn't her to begin with. So why did it all stop?
Writers, yo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, because they're trying to make us think that she did have powers. And, you know, I don't know. They got her on the bus real quick into that room, and the guy couldn't get to her. So he was trying to follow them or something.
No, that's fine. That's good enough explanation for me. I'm not that picky. It just occurred to me after I realized that it wasn't her to begin with. So I'm
sure.
Like, oh, something. And then, that's fine. But that works for me.
Right. But I think Skye, you know, just as she's reading May, you know, and May's just like she says, you know, she's got this policy of shoot first, ask questions later or something along those lines where, you know, it's just like, that's what we've seen from her. She's take charge, doesn't necessarily think about what's going on. I mean, you know, before she can tell anybody what's going on, you know, May has taken off with the prisoner. you know, to, because she has an idea and she's going to fix this, right? It's not the team. She's not the, a member of the team. This is her fixing it. This is very much like, there was a previous episode where, you know, where she was tied up and, you know, she got out of it and she went and, you know, knocked out some bad guys and stuff like this. It's very much within her nature. And I think that's what Skye is responding to, is that Skye feels like she's working to be part of this team. She's learning the rules of how S.H.I.E.L.D. is, and May just doesn't quite fit the mold and obviously has some other, you know, damage going on that, she's trying to, Skye is trying to, you know, understand.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess I saw Agent May different than Skye did, but I know more about her and I can see it that, you know, she doesn't necessarily see, but, it seemed like she was the only one she wasn't really reading completely accurately, but I guess maybe she kind of was. I mean, she'd freak me out if she walked into a room and I was locked up in it and she had shot me earlier. So maybe she was right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and the other thing that Skye says, you know, she's talking about, you know, she refers to Agent May as warm and fuzzy, you know, in a very sarcastic tone, because she's like, she never smiled. Like, I don't think, other than the very end of this, oh, I take that back. There was one other episode where I can think of her smiling, but she doesn't smile very much. She smiled at the end of this episode, and she smiled, which episode was it? I think it was in Visit, where Coulson goes to talk to her. She's doing Tai Chi. And Coulson goes to talk to her, and he's asking her questions, and she never really responds, but he's like, I know. And then he goes, okay, great, you've been a great help. And he kind of walks away, and she kind of gives like this wry smile, like, oh, my God, that guy's
nuts. Almost kind of a smirk, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're kidding me. I remember that one.
But, I mean, that's what we've seen from the character. So, I mean, that's what Skye, you know, again, that's what Skye's reacting to. So,
right. And I think they'll kind of keep that serious character with her, even though I think she's going to start loosening up now that she's had this kind of breakthrough. And this was the Agent May character episode, just like we had predicted was coming. So,
yeah, yeah.
That's good. That's okay.
And I'm hoping that, you know, this was this episode had a bunch of humor in it again, but as it was with last week, I thought it was moderated very well. Like I said, this episode really kind of scared the bejesus out of me in a couple spots. The humor really did a good job of kind of, you know, evening the tone out for the episode. You had some good Fitz and Simmons moments. You know, you had the these pranks that were, you know, being pulled on different characters, but
it wasn't so many one-liners. You know, it was more comedy in context of the situation, like when Fitz screamed.
Well, which was great because at the beginning, you know, he's talking to Simmons about remember when you screamed like a girl, and she's like, "I am a girl," and then of course he screams like a girl later in the episode, which. Brilliant. I mean, really well done. I thought that was hilarious. And then there were just, you know, some other things that were funny kind of by just juxtaposition where Skye is in the middle of a sentence. She's in the, in Fitz and Simmons' lab and they're getting ready to analyze the particle accelerator. There's that particle accelerator again, man, that thing popping up every week on these superhero shows that we watch.
We've got a lot of slow particles we got to take care of. But, science marches on.
Yeah. The Skye is talking about May, and she's saying maybe that's why she seems so, and she was going to say, you know, angry or something like that. But Simmons kind of speaks right over her and says, happy. And it hands the little drone, which is Happy, named after one of the seven dwarves, to Fitz, so he can load up the 3D model of the particle accelerator. So, you know, dialogue bits and exchanges like that, I think, are pretty cool. So I feel like the writers are getting more comfortable with the characters. They're finding the tone for the show. You know, they're doing stuff in the writer's room behind the scenes to, you know, work this stuff out. Regardless, I guess, of who is going to be writing an episode, you know, they kind of work all of these things out a little bit better. And you know, for me, the show is still steadily improving. I'm liking all these episodes. I know at least for me, I thought the hub was kind of a bummer a couple weeks ago, but these last two have been really good. I'm looking forward to hopefully they can go into a strong episode for the winter break to really get people excited and want to have people, you know, want to come back in the new year or so.
Yeah. Well, I think so. I like you said, they're feeling more comfortable with the characters. I think it's because they don't have to keep setting them up. You know, that's always kind of the awkward part of a story is when you're, you know, I guess it's not always awkward, but I mean, it can be, yeah, it can be the awkward part of the story when you're having to explain, you know, to the viewer who these people are and why they are, where they are, how they got there. So you can get to the real meat of the story.
So, I thought they did a great job with Hannah for this episode because, you know, it could be a pretty complicated story, but they told it a number of ways using other characters talking to Hannah. They had the newspaper and, you know, and they start, like you said at the beginning, that they started off with this convenience store and you got this clerk kind of accusing her of things and you're like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, you can kind of understand exactly what happened. There was an industrial accident and she's guilty and she got some weird freakish powers from it too.
Yeah. Or she caused it with weird freakish powers.
Right. I never even thought about it that way, but yeah, that's true. I could see
that's,
how that.
So that's what I was thinking. Like the accident, I mean, like she'd lost control and caused this to explode or kill these people or,
but in superhero origin stories, that's never the way it happens.
the actress that portrayed her, and you'd forgive me, I don't have it in front of me. I'm not even sure who that is, but
I looked it up earlier here. Keep going and I'll tell you her name.
Well, I thought she did an excellent job of really making you feel who this character was. This wasn't like the pilot episode with Mike Peterson and Scorch, you know, where, they were kind of another person that had these powers and couldn't handle using them, you know, and this was, I mean, she was just so distraught because of, she thought there were demons hunting her or God was punishing her. And you could see that in her face. Mm-hmm. I mean, her eyes were red and the tip of her nose was red and she just looked like she'd been crying for days and days. And just, I really thought she did an excellent job portraying this character who won't be back because she doesn't have any powers. I mean, she's not really an important character, but nice job on that. Just wanted to give her accolades.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job.
Not enough to find out what her name is, but you know, I want to give her that.
Yeah, her name's Laura C-E, S-E-A-Y, and it's IMDb is not listing her as being in this episode, and it looks like probably the most known thing she's
– I did.
Yeah, she's been in Superbad here, but I don't, you know, as a character named Shirley, but I'm not familiar enough with Superbad to be able to tell you who that is. So,
well, anyway,
I agree. I thought she did a really good job. I mean, I thought that the scene in the room with her and Ward and May, and then also the scene that she did through the wall with Sky, that second scene with Sky may be probably one of the best scenes of the show so far. It was Sky, you know, Sky is like, you guys are all being super scientific around her and throwing her in this room, you know, this nightmare box, and you're not telling her anything. And leave it to Sky, who is this tech head. You know, she's the one that, like, you always think about these, you know, people who are really into computers that have no social skills. She's totally the opposite. I mean, she is like you were saying, you know, totally empathetic with this. She understands like what this woman's going through and really sits down with her and talks to her. And they have this really interesting conversation about belief and faith. And
I thought that scene was interesting that it was about belief and faith and things that are very important to people on a personal level. And yet it wasn't preachy about, one particular view or another. You know, it kind of really gave both sides and of these two women that were talking to each other. And you know, I don't know that you get that much on TV.
I found it a little
pretty one-sided.
Yeah, I found it a little shocking that they were talking. Actually, you know, the TV show was talking this much about God and belief. You know, not in a strictly religious setting. You know, usually it's when people are either in a church because of, you know, they need to talk to a priest about, you know, confession, or possibly in a hospital because they're dying or something like that. So this was, you know, it was a different kind of setting to get one of these conversations in. And like you said, it you know, kind of presents a fair and balanced presentation of two different, you know, arguments for, you know, people who are, you know, both good, good individuals that are, you know, are scared because they don't know what's happening in their life. And, you know, two different people, you know, finding their way in the world here.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, kudos to them. So I have one more question about Tobias here.
Yes.
So he, I guess, was trapped in between two worlds, they said. And they kind of compared that to something that had happened in Thor.
Yeah.
Where they were kept being transported. Right.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're talking about the big fight at the end of Thor: The Dark World.
Yep.
Where they were
where the holes in space time were opening up. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Because Thor kept flying from one place to another, and obviously to an observer on the ground, it would look like, you know, they just winked out of existence and then came back. But you know, we saw that he was going through these like portals or wormholes or whatever they were.
And his hammer kept saying, "Make up your mind."
Yeah,
I like that scene.
But
anyway, so Tobias, during the accident, something similar happened to him, I guess, where he was getting pulled in between two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, I don't know what you would call it. I mean, his body was.
It was apparating and disapparating.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Which it was a different kind of look than what we saw in Thor: The Dark World. Whereas in Thor: The Dark World, it looked like someone was stepping through a doorway. Right, you're here, and then you step through there, and whoop, you wink out of existence, and you whoop, appear in the next place. In this one, he was all smoky, like his hand would appear, and then the rest of his body would be smoky, and then it would resolve.
And I wondered if that had something to do with, you know, the particle accelerator did something to his body, or was he really being transported, maybe, you know, particles at a time in his body? Is that what? And then, so where did he go at the end? Was he really dead? Or I didn't understand that.
Yeah, interesting. So, okay. So the way that I looked at this was, Simmons discovers that there's this weird alien-looking landscape right when she pulls up the data from the particle accelerator. It's basically like she's looking through a rift in the particle accelerator into another world. You know, so they take something that seems very magical or supernatural and apply a scientific-based reasoning to it, right, and give us an explanation that, you know, even though it's really far-fetched, you know, it's supposed to explain it to us. It's not magic. It's not supernatural. You know, it's not a ghost. It's this, you know, gobbledygook here, right? Particle accelerator, blah, 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 rift between two worlds. So let's just think about this. Particle accelerator, yeah, it's accelerating all of its different atoms in different ways. And, yeah, maybe there's this rift between our world and this other world that he calls hell. It's a red-looking planet and possibly could be one of the nine realms from Asgard, from Thor. There is such a realm. It's called Hel, but with only one L, also known as Muspelheim, and that's where the demons live in the Thor universe. And there was one line that I think Simmons used. She said, you know, he appears to be being, you know, like each time he appears, it's like he's getting less and less. So maybe if we just wait this out, he'll disappear fully. But obviously he was trying to hold on, right? Because he wanted to be with Hannah. So I think what happened was that he was slowly being sucked into the other world, other universe, whatever it is. And when May, you know, told him to give it up, he, you know, was he basically, you know, relaxed his will that was keeping him here, you know, tethered to Earth, and he just went into the other realm. I'm assuming he could survive there, but it's probably not going to be pretty because obviously he was winking in and out of existence. So I'm guessing that every time he was not here, he was in this other world. So I don't know that he's necessarily dead, but he may be soon. What I also thought was interesting about that final scene where they're in the barn, again, I think it's the same barn they used previously, and also at that, I think it's also the same barn from Walking Dead, but I don't know. just keep going back to that.
That makes it even creepier.
Yeah. When she's talking to, when May is talking to Tobias and saying, you know, you got to let the girl go, you know, before my friends get here and force you to go. You know, you need to do it of your own will. Basically, it's, you know, it's kind of taking that whole supplication thing where he is asking for God's forgiveness because he too has a religious background. At the beginning, they mentioned this was a really a churchy town, I guess, that these people come from in Utah, I believe it was. And so, you know, May tells him that, you know, God can't forgive you because you've got to live with, you know, all those the sins of what you've done. But he then, you know, she kind of says, you know, like you need to make a sacrifice now. You need to, you know, let her go and let everybody, you know, be at peace. Those little glowing balls kind of were coming up behind them. And there was, so there's this kind of orangish bright light glowing on the back of Tobias and on Hannah as they're letting go. You know, it's kind of like walk into the light, you know, that thing you hear about when people are dying and they see the light. I thought that was an interesting element that they put in there. And I don't know, you know, I don't know if it was done on purpose or not, but it kind of gave a very ethereal quality to that final sequence, almost like, you know, like a sun rising or, you know, a character kind of going off into that final angelic light.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that is kind of cool. I kind of noticed the light element of it too, as she was talking to him. So what were those things to help close the portal? Is that what those glowy balls were?
They said that they were they called them the Golden Retrievers, and they sent them out in all the sorts of different directions because they didn't know which direction May went.
They've got issues with naming everything, don't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just what they said in the episode. I think they were like, you know, little tracking balls or something like that, that would go and find, you know, whoever they were looking for and like send information back because they didn't know where she was. The ball shows up and then the team, you know, shows up right after. So like maybe it, you know, everybody's got a tracker or something like that. So because they were saying that because of the power was out, you know, I guess the earpieces weren't working or something. So they used that to track her down. I don't know.
All right. Well, see, I like that there's some mysteries that I don't know the entire answer to. I like that. That makes shows more interesting to me. So I have no problem not having clear answers to some of these questions.
Well, and it gives us something to talk about too, because if they just spilled everything out, I mean, how boring would our podcast be then? I mean, you can go back to some of the early episodes.
We can make jokes about something else, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, that brings me to the end of my questions that I wanted to discuss with you.
Well, you actually saw a bunch of references here, and I want to give you a chance to let the listeners know about some of these references we saw in this episode to things in the Marvel Universe or other, you know, little shout-outs that they had here.
All righty. Well, let's see. I was watching really closely this time to try to
try and
get better at that.
You put down here. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the first one I noticed was Roxxon Oil.
Yes.
Which is I love the even the logo is very much like Exxon, but mm-hmm. That Roxxon Oil is the oil company, the gas station, right? From I guess it was in Iron Man 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, it's shown up in different in Iron Man 1. They were when Iron Man was fighting Ironmonger, they were fighting right in front of the Roxxon like headquarters, I guess. And then in Iron Man 2, let's see, Iron Man 2 was with the race car, right? So there was a race car that had Roxxon oil on
it.
Might have been Tony's car, actually.
Yeah, probably.
And then Iron Man 3, when the big battle at the end was at the Roxxon like refinery at the, you know, coast or whatever. That's where they chained up the president and everything like that.
Yeah, with all the different Iron Man suits.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. The big battle.
And then also the little short, what do we call those?
Marvel one-shots.
One-shots, right. And this one was with Agent Coulson very brilliantly taking out some bad guys in a convenience store, gas station, right?
Yep.
And that was a Roxxon gas station too?
Yep, yep. We got to see him use his Roxxon credit card in that one.
I got to go back and watch that one. That's my favorite one.
It's on, you can find it on YouTube. Yeah, it's called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer. So if people out there listening, I will stop the podcast right now. Go watch this. It's on, I think it's on the Hulk DVD, but don't quote me on that. But you can find out which it's on one of the, or sorry, not DVD, on the Blu-ray. But someone's uploaded it to YouTube. Just go to YouTube and Google, or YouTube. Well, Googling and YouTubing is the same thing because they're both owned by Google now. But look for A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer, and you will see the coolest Coulson short and know why he is the son of cool.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, do it. Pause it right now. Go watch it.
Wasn't that funny? Okay, that was great. Back. I'm glad you guys came back to the show. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was my favorite one. So, all right. So then, well, let's see. You noticed this one.
Oh, well, yeah, we're going to go in order here. Okay. Yeah, sure. I'll do this one.
Sure.
So yeah, they mentioned taking Hannah. They were going to take her to the fridge, which was the location that they took, the gravitonium to, where they kind of put it on quote cold storage, you know? So I guess they were, if she really was dangerous, they were going to lock her up in one of those vaults, which that's not cool. I don't know what else they have at that facility, I guess. So.
Yeah. I hope they didn't still take her there after that. I hope they let her go home.
Yeah.
Grabbed her a sandwich out of the fridge and then just let her go. Is that, since we're here, you know,
since we're here, grab a sandwich and some milk.
Yeah, you didn't get it when you were at the Roxxon gas station there, so we thought we'd pay you back. So here you go.
That's funny. let's see. Yeah, we also talked about the particle accelerator, so we covered that.
Oh yes.
They referred to their the number of their plane is Flight 616, which is a reference to the numbering of the Marvel universe, the main Marvel universe, which is universe number 616. And then every other universe has a different, designation as opposed to like the DC universes where they started just right off the top with Earth 1, Earth 2, et cetera, going that way. And then, you found some interesting stuff, the thoughts about, Tobias Ford here.
Well, Tobias Ford, I don't know if they ever referred to him as a ghost, like when they were first trying to figure out what was going on. I think they did, actually.
Yeah. Simmons, you know, said, oh, nope, she, you know, Hannah isn't dangerous. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, we've disproved her telekinesis. And someone's like, why? And it's like, she's like, well, it's a ghost. And they mentioned the word ghost a couple times.
So the ghost has been, I think, the name of several different characters in the comics world. But there was a character named the ghost in the Marvel universe, mm-hmm. And it was without getting into it too much, but it was this guy who what was his name? I was trying to find his name real quick here.
I didn't even think to look that part up.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even matter. But
I'll tell you here in two seconds, as soon as this page loads. His name is it only lists the name of the creators. Does he have a name? He just is called Ghost.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. He doesn't look
A couple things about him. Number one, he has this look that looks his face or mask. I guess it's a mask, but it looks very much like the gas mask. And I kept thinking they were going to use that gas mask that Fitz had, in some way with this guy, because they were calling him a ghost. And I thought maybe that was another reason he might be a reference to that character. The other also, I was going to point this out. I happened to come across this too when I was looking up the ghost information, but in the comics here, he was hired by Roxxon Oil.
Oh, okay.
So they hired him to destroy some research and development thing or something, but I just thought that was another interesting coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, I can't find a name for him, but I mean, there's Tobias Ford has not been a character in the Marvel Universe that I was able to find. The ghost is also an Iron Man. Initially appeared in Iron Man as a villain and has gone on to do other things. But yeah, that's pretty cool. When they're playing Upwards at the end, I don't know if you took a quick look at they showed a kind of a close up of the board as Simmons was spelling the word Aglet, which
Aglet. I didn't notice any of these that you're about to say because I was so impressed that I knew what an aglet was.
I was going to say good because I too knew what an aglet was. I knew it wasn't a sniglet. I knew it was a real word.
I know what a sniglet is too.
Yeah. But some of the other tiles on the Upwards board spelled, you couldn't quite make out the full word, but you could see that it spelled Scorpio. Which is a reference to the Scorpio key, which is something that Nick Fury Nick Fury has fought with Scorpio. I'm sorry, Zodiac. The Zodiac key. Sorry, not Scorpio. My mistake. Scorpio was a member of the Zodiac, but the Zodiac have the Zodiac key, which provides the holder with like superpowers and stuff like that. Nick Fury often fought against the Zodiac in the comic books. And the Marvel one-shot of Agent Carter, which was on the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray, dealt with her working for a proto version of S.H.I.E.L.D. where she went out to save the – they just called it the Zodiac, not the Zodiac key, but this little vial of liquid from a bad guy. There was also the word Strange crossing with the word Tales. Strange Tales was where S.H.I.E.L.D. was initially born in the pages of that magazine. And then it also had the word Espionage across the top that Aglet was being built off of. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool. And I like the more that they are putting in little details like that, the more I think they're starting to really think about how to make these scripts and these storylines, I don't know, more connected to the Marvel Universe, something. I like when they put those little details in because I can tell they're not just giving us those standard template shows that are basically the same thing every week with different characters in a different situation, you know? So
right.
I like the little details. I hope they keep doing those.
Well, I definitely like stuff like that rather than them continually just saying, oh, this is super soldier technology, or this is, you know, gamma radiation, blah, 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 extremis, you know, just throwing all these kind of buzzwords and trying to link it into pretty much every Marvel cinematic universe film at the same time. I like the pacing of these kind of references and stuff, I think, has been a lot toned down, I guess, while, you know, still providing some stuff. But it's not like, oh, you know, there's 50 things in this episode and it's all in the dialogue. They're mixing it up. There's, you know, signs here, you know, things in the background, things the characters say or things that they do or, you know, things like, you know, just it's a mix of things, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
And then you got this last one here. It's not really part of the episode per se, but
it's not. But they on the preview for this, they're showing that in 2 weeks, our good friend Mike Peterson returns.
Mike Peterson.
He was the character from the pilot episode that had. The names of it is escaping me. What's the stuff they're pumping in him?
Oh, the centipede.
Yeah, centipede, but...
Extremis with the super soldier serum and the gamma radiation. Didn't I just mention this?
Can I forget the Extremis? Yes, you did. I know. How could I not know that? Anyway, so he's coming back.
Pay attention, Josh.
And it looks like he's going to be... I was paying attention. I was thinking about all the other stuff we talked about after that, and it was all coming together in my head and making me excited. But anyway, he comes back. It looks like it's going to be kind of an action-packed one with him in it. They need him for something important.
And, like the Harriman is part of the team or something, it looks like.
Yeah, they're going to use his powers. Please, more powers in this show. I love it.
Yeah.
And this is apparently going to be the cliffhanger for the winter break because they won't be back until January.
It appears. I haven't been able to – so that's episode 10, and I can't. They haven't really announced when episode 11 is, so I'm guessing that they're just going to take the rest of December off. But it is possible that the conclusion to that will actually be the end of the winter break – or be the end of the series before the winter break. So they could have an episode on the 17th, a week before Christmas basically, but I guess we'll see. So stay tuned, and then so we'll be off next week, but we will return when Mike Peterson does, and we'll see what superpowers he has, and maybe now that I'm thinking about this, because they're Mike Peterson, right, probably has something to do with Centipede. I'm wondering if we're going to see Scorch, or did he die?
Well, we don't know. There was a big explosion fireball, but we don't really know if he truly died or not. They didn't
show.
Well,
no body. I guess he's alive, right? This comic, it's worse than soap operas, basically, with these comic books, isn't it? So.
Yeah, it really is.
Anyway, I thought this was just my final thought here. I thought this was a really good episode, much scarier than some of the other episodes I've seen, on of shows that are supposedly horror shows. I mean, I thought this had some really good, suspense going for it as well. So very much enjoyable. And Josh, any other final thoughts from you?
No, I thought this was a strong episode. It had less of the things that I've been critical about and more of the things that I'm really enjoying. So I do really think it's starting to find its stride, and I hope some people start coming back to it. Actually, they are. They are coming back to it based on the numbers. And we'll keep ramping up. Hopefully by the end of the season, people will start seeing the potential that it's got here. So, positive review from me.
All right. Agreed. So, well, that's about it for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure you leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can also send us some emails, shield@randomchatter.com. You can get on our Twitter handle there, @AgentsPodcast. And go to our Facebook page and leave us your thoughts on our Facebook page. It's always great to see you there. And like our Facebook page and share with everybody that they can like our Facebook page too. So that's at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
I'd love to be able to get 100 likes by the end of season one. I think that'd be pretty cool. So make sure you tell your friends about that.
We just got another one during this show, so that's good.
And also be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I host. It's called Green Justice, an Arrow podcast following the CW TV show Arrow, which is also available on randomchatter.com, purveyors of many fine podcasts. There's a lot of stuff in the archives there for you guys to look at. And if you enjoy this podcast, also be sure to tell your friends, because that's the only way we're going to be able to grow. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And I'm Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.